jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Welcome to the pre-round two Supercoach Coach podcast. My name is Marcus, and I'm joined this week not by FB Donkey, but our two regular guests, Dunny and Faz. Dunny, why don't you say hi?
Hey guys, great to be back for another season.
And Faz?
G'day lads, thank you for all the work that you and Mark did over the pre-season, and yeah, looking forward to getting stuck into another season of Supercoach.
Yep, it's good to have you both back on board for 2018, especially with Mark being lazy this year and coming on for fewer shows. I'm sure the whole community really appreciates both your time. So looking forward to another great season of podcasts, gents. Before we get into the show, just a shout out to our Patreons, patreon.com/supercoachcoach, if you're looking to support the show. We released a team reveal prior to the season launch and also took some last minute questions on the Friday night after Sunday team sheets came out. So hopefully those of you who joined on to support us found some benefit in both those two pieces of additional content. And moving forward this year, I'm going to try to, as much as we can, release a little bit of extra content starting from this week. So we'll record a little bit at the end, an extra sort of bonus 10 minutes each week, just as a little bit of an extra. So thank you to our Patreon supporters. And if you are considering, we'd very, very much appreciate your support. And for those of you who can't contribute monetarily, of course, your listenership and feedback on social media and asking questions is always well appreciated. So enough of an intro. Let's jump into the podcast post round one. And I think all the listeners are pretty keen to hear who we actually started in our teams. Stillmatic on Twitter asked for some team reveal. So we'll obviously start with that. Before we do, maybe just a quick round the table with our scores. I have a feeling that I'm going to be the lowest scorer, so I'm going to just chuck mine out first. I scored 2260, which gave me a season rank of 18K at the moment. So a weak round one start to the season, but I ended up starting with Libba, which was absolutely excruciating. And I took Timmy English and went with Fife as my captain because I lost my loophole to Dusty, and that also cost me about 60 points. So if I had Kelly on for the Libba and I had Martin on as captain, that would have pushed me up into the 2400 range, which is where I'd like to be. But yeah, that's my score for the round. Dunny, did you beat me?
Just, mate, just. I finished the round with 2299. I would love to have gotten just one more point to get to that 2300 mark. I think initially I was over 2300 and then got scaled down, which really upset me. But my team, I was pretty happy with. My top scorer was Tommy Mitchell with his 167. Unfortunately, I didn't take him as captain. I had loophole Dusty Martin. I actually kept Darcy Cameron. Look, my team I was really happy with. Basically, what cost me was rookie choices on the field, and that's going to happen this time of the year. But Faz, I reckon you might have me covered.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for the season to be over after the way it started for me. So I kick things off with a 2456 this week. So that's got me at a season ranking of 421.
That's a good first round score. And to make things even more sweeter, our beloved fellow co-host FB Donkey notched up the lowest score out of the four of us. So even if he was on the show this week, he'd be doing the walk of shame for the week. Extra boost to spirits this week, knowing that we beat Mark. Before we go around and reveal our teams, just a shout out to our top scorer for the week. That's Jason's team with Jay's Juggernaut. He scored 25-27, which is a massive score.
Wow.
Yeah, puts him at rank 29. So a well done to Jason. All right, why don't we do a team reveal? Dunny, how'd your team stack up for round one?
So I guess we'll start with the back line. I kicked the season off with Rory Laird, Hibbard, Shane Savage. I did end up going with Riley Bonner from the Power, which I was pretty happy with. Aaron Norton and Tom Duday on field. And I had Murray and Finlayson on the bench, which cost me a few points.
I also picked up Riley Bonner Dunny, so super, super happy about that. The backline's actually my favorite part of my team at the moment. I went with Laird, Sicily, and Bonner, Dodé, Murray, Finlayson, and I put Norton on the bench despite him being a little bit more expensive to start, and Murphy is my D8. So I started with a 2-4 combo, and Bonner was great at D3. Great result for round one for my backline. Faz, who'd you pick?
After seeing team sheets, a few of the guys that I had sitting in the back line not making round one teams, I ended up doing a bit of a shift up. So I ended up starting with four premiums in the back line, which I don't think is all that common. So I went with Yeo, Laird, Savage, and Sicily. Dodé, I had Murray on the field this week, and then Norton and Finlayson on the bench.
To the midfield, Donny, do you want to kick us off again?
Yep, I had Tommy Mitchell, Dusty, Nat Fyfe, who was a little disappointing this week. Luke Parker, someone that I really like, nice. And he's got a really good Supercoach game, I think. Steve Canelio, I ended up going with Armitage. Wasn't really sure about him, but we'll see how he goes. I played Brayshaw and Banfield on field, which after seeing the Dockers live on the weekend, I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon. I had Tim Kelly and Nick Holman on the bench, along with Dom Barry from Port, who, based on what I was watching, I thought he would have had a better score than 44, but that's the way it goes.
I went with Martin, Fyfe, and then went back to the well with a couple of selections here, Pendlebury and Selwood. Pendlebury was pretty average, but he still top scored for Collingwood, so that's okay. Selwood was good with 125. Ended up with Cripps and Canelio, which is great. And I actually went out to 7 primo-ish mids with Libba at my M7, so that really, really hurt. So I know Mark took Libba as well. He also took Parker, so he's celebrating that one with you, Dunny. The rookie that I passed on that most people started with was Dom Barry. He scored 44, and pressure for spots is pretty tight at Port, so I don't actually mind missing out on him after one round. But I paid for Brayshaw, put him on field, which was disappointing because Kelly was on the bench with a 118. Banfield and Holman round out my midfield. Faz?
Yes, I think I've actually got the spitting image midfield for Dunny, save for I've got Paddy Cripps instead of Luke Parker.
How about the rucks, Dunny? You went with somebody a little bit more unique. I know I was talking to you about this on a Friday night. Why don't you tell everyone what you started with?
Well, Max Gawn's a given, so I definitely started with him. But I went with someone who I thought was going to be a little bit safer. He wasn't looking very safe early in the game, and that was Sam Jacobs. I was always nervous about Goldstein and Martin and just the risk of Pruce and Archie Smith coming into that side and ruining them. I didn't want to use any trades in the rucks this year, and I think, you know, Jacobs is reasonably consistent. He scored me a 90 in the end, which I'm not unhappy with. You know, hopefully he'll be a good unique for me as the season goes on. He's pretty durable, doesn't tend to miss any games either. And on the bench, I stuck with Darcy Cameron. I know Tim English got the game, but Cameron, I guess I used him for the loophole this week, but also I think he's going to get games eventually during the season as well.
Yep, I went with Goldstein for my R2, with Gone obviously being the easy selection there. Was umming and ahhing between Goldstein and Nick Nat, with Cruiser probably being my third selection. Happy that I didn't pick Cruiser, but after one round, kind of wish that I picked Nick Nat. We talked about Nick Nat being a pretty obvious choice in the first show back, and then there was all that news about him being unfit, and the truth is he only played 60% game time on the weekend, but he scored 114, 115 off that tiny time on ground. So a scary prospect, and well done to anyone that risked Nick Nat to start. And then I picked Tim English. I was a big fan of him early days and wasn't expecting him to get named round one. He was, and he was straight into my team as well. Faz?
Yep, I've got the exact same line as you there. So Goldstein, Gorn, and English.
To the forwards, Dunny, who did you go with?
So I went with a 4-2 in the forward line. So I started with Heaney, Jack Billings, who I was really happy with his 133. Christian Petrarca, once again, happy-ish with his 95 for what he cost me at 433 grand. So that's not too bad. Devin Smith, I liked the look of him during the preseason, and a 92 from him was a good start. Hopefully he can build on that. Then on field, I had Christensen. I stuck with him despite wanting not to have him, but I thought, no, if I trade him out now, I'll regret it. 66, not ideal. Hopefully he can turn that around. Bailey Fritsch, I think everyone will have him really happy with his game at 60 points for his 117 grand. So that's pretty cool. On the bench, I ended up, this was probably the toughest decision I had. I just had no clues which of the ones I wanted to put on the bench. Ended up going with Venables and Ryan. Both of them a bit disappointing. From what I saw, I probably would have liked to have stuck with Jaden Stevenson, but that's the way I ended up going.
I had Heaney, Billings, and Petrarca, which is pretty similar to yourself, Dunny. Also started Christensen. I think although 66 wasn't a great start, I don't see him scoring much worse than that. And when you compare him to the rookies that are available, like between having Ryan or Venables or Langdon, like if you want to take the value so that you can ply your money into your midfield, you're going to sacrifice scoring. And Christensen's a nice balance of at least keeping some scoring on field with the potential still to go up in price. I mean, the forward rookies this year look pretty poor scoring, and Mark actually started zero forward rookies on field for that reason. So not a great start from Christensen, but not awful either. I went with Ryan and Fritsch as well, and then I went with Zach Langdon from GWS as my other rookie forward. And the primo that I've missed out there is Lukey Dalhouse. Was deciding between basically Franklin and Dalhouse, and ended up going with Dalhouse, and Franklin of course smashes it, but Dalhouse is playing predominantly in the midfield and is in his contract year, so 88 in a pretty big loss to GWS hopefully is a decent start. So we'll see how we go. Faz?
My last minute moves meant that Dalhouse and Petrarca came out of my team and Elliot Yeo and Shane Savage came in. So the premiums that I was left with were Isaac Heaney and Jack Billings, who are, I think, in both of your teams. It seems I like to punish myself because Toby Green has made my team for another year. So
130 in week
one. 130 for week one.
Nothing wrong with that.
Punching someone in the head week two, I'm sure. So we'll just
have
to wait.
To be honest, Faz, that's the only reason I didn't pick him. Other than that, I wanted him in my side, but just that risk of him punching someone in the head is just too high for me.
Yeah, so we've made it 1 week, just 21 to go with no brain fades from Toby. And to round out the team, I've got Christensen and Fritsch on field. The one I've got that's a bit more unique, I think, is Stephenson from Collingwood. I just thought being a high draft pick, they'd probably have a bit more patience with him and sort of give him more game time than some of the other rookies might get. And on the bench, I've got Venables and Giles Langdon to round out the team.
All right, that's enough time spent on our teams. Before we get into the questions for the week, just a quick reminder from somebody out in our community. Shannon Swan posted on our Facebook page that we're likely to give the same advice as every other year for round one, and that's that we spend all our preseason developing a strategy and not to throw it all out with 1 week of scoring. You still have 1 more week of free information, as he puts it, before prices start changing. So this show will spend most of our time talking about the actual issues that need to be rectified. And apart from that, I don't think we really need to spend additional amounts of time speculating 1 week early on bringing in, you know, Sicily after one massive score, even though he's an inconsistent player. Trading in Riley Bonner off the cuff because he's scored 119, even though his job security still isn't 100% locked in. The examples go on. A fair reminder from Shannon there, and we'll take that approach with dealing with questions from the community this week. All right, let's get into the questions. So we'll start off with the questions relating to injury first. The first question here is from Luke Ryan, one of our patrons. Do we downgrade Merritt if he doesn't play this week? Worried that these concussions will affect his output as well. Merritt's an interesting one. Obviously, scored the 17 and was carted off early. But that 17 does come in his first round and will only factor for one price movement. I think worst case scenario is he misses this week. He's still a chance to play this week, but apparently it's his second concussion in about a month. So there's a chance he'll miss this week. Dunny, thoughts on Merritt if he doesn't play this week? Would you be tempted to trade in that situation?
I think I might be. And you're right. He got concussed in the first JLT game, and apparently he also got concussed at training not long before that. So this is actually his third in 8 weeks. So based on that, they may take a fairly conservative approach with him. I'm not sure. But look, if you are worried about that, then this is probably the time to do it. If he doesn't get named, I think you probably would look at trading him, because when he comes back, he may still be affected slightly. I don't see it as a bad move.
Faz, as a Bombers supporter?
So for me, I think you'd have to, I guess, be focusing on the second part of Luke's question, that his output going forward will be affected. If you think that's the case, then I can see there being an argument for trading him. But in terms of the line of thinking to save money, I definitely don't think that that's the way to go.
No,
I
agree.
As you mentioned, it's only one price cycle, which I don't think many people are even going to get to capitalize on, given it's so early in the season. It's unlikely teams are in a position that they can, you know, jump on and get a cheap Zach Merritt. So if you think that his scores are going to stay good, then I would just move him to the bench. We've got a few good rookies available in the midfield. So if you've got a Holman or someone like that you can move on field, then I'd have no hesitation in just holding him for a week.
Don't necessarily think there's a right or wrong answer here. If you use a corrective trade on him to a mid-pricer that goes on to kill it for the rest of the year. If you don't have Cornelio, he scored 129, you know, 450,000. If you thought that he was good value, you wanted to trade to him, that could work out as well. I think if I were to trade Merritt, it'd definitely be a downgrade to somebody of value. Swap into Sicily with some DPP shenanigans. It's definitely a tough one. I think I could find situations or manufacture trades where it could work out, and similarly, the trade could end up being a redundant side swap. So it's a tough one. All right, next question here is from Andy or at Car Hardwood on Twitter, another patron of the show. He was dumb enough, like myself, to take a punt on Libba, 2K short of being able to trade up to Cornelio. Should he hold a week or trade?
I think, well, we know Liver's now basically going to be out for the rest of the season. So this is one of those situations where, yes, a round one trade is applicable to do. I'd be looking to probably bring someone else in, Sicily or Bonner. Yeah, they're probably, you know, they'd be good choices to bring in if you can do those DPP swaps. I don't mind that move without knowing the rest of his team, obviously.
Out of those options, Caniglio, Sicily and Bonner, I think Caniglio is definitely my favourite of those three players. So if Andy's looking at his team and then, you know, there's one rookie in particular that he doesn't have and he sort of got somebody else earmarked to make that trade, if that trade that he's going to plan to do before round three is going to generate enough money to make the jump from Libba to Caniglio, then I can see that being worthwhile to hold for a week. You can, you know, use Libba as your donut for this week and sort of make sure that you get the best rookie scores on field in the midfield. However, if that's not the case and if there's, you know, more than one move that looks like needing to be made prior to round three, then I think, yeah, you probably do jump now. Just to throw one other name out there that I don't have in my team, and he's quite a popular pick, so it might not be applicable, but Christian Petrarca is available in the midfield. So I think Libba down to Petrarca with a view to getting Petrarca back into your forward line some stage later in the season, I think could be a good move.
Yeah, that sounds like a great move, Fez.
Well, I'm facing this decision this week. I guess the thing that has me wanting to wait an additional week is just that I'm not too certain who I'd be rushing to trade into my team after only 1 week. O'Meara looks all right as a downgrade target in the midfield. Bonner, if I didn't have him, you might swap two just to structure up with more rookies, but I've got him. I'm not sure there's any rookies begging to be picked either. Faz was looking at the rookie scores, and only Fogarty is probably a player that isn't highly selected that scored quite a few points on the weekend with 82, and he still has questions over job security as well. So I'm not sure I'd go in after just one round on Fogarty. So that's kind of the dilemma that I'm facing. Do I go a week early, or do I just hold off and make the better decision the week after? I think the thing that I'm most likely to do is to downgrade to buy some cash to allow me to be a bit more creative next week. So that if I do move on Libba, it'll probably be Libba down to O'Meara or Libba down to a rookie. And if I didn't have Bonner, I'd be pretty tempted to do Libba to Bonner as well. All right, next question. This one's from Charles Herzog. For those making a ruck correction, did we see enough from Nick Nat to build confidence in him as a selection? So we need to consider the two potential outs independently because Cruiser and Ryder both got injured in the rucks. Ryder for something that's a bit more longer term, medium to long term. He's out for what will likely be at least a month with a sore Achilles. And Cruiser seems to have done something to his groin and is a chance to miss this week, but it's much more of a short term concern. They'll probably play him, you know, at 90 or 80% or whatever he's at, even if he's not fully recovered from the injury. So I guess Cruz is one that you're more likely to keep than Ryder. To me, Ryder's almost an immediate trade out. Dunny, do you have any more information on Paddy Ryder as a Port supporter?
No, mate. I've been trying to find as much as I can today myself. I believe they've done some scans today, but they're doing something else tomorrow. I agree with exactly what you said. I think Ryder is a must trade. He's going to be at least a month, you would think. Cruiser, on the other hand, could be a week. He may even play this week. This is probably where we are lacking that ruck forward flexibility that we had last year with Nank. If you have something like that set up in your team, you just throw that forward ruckman into your R2 spot for this week and then hold him. You know, to be honest, if you can play someone else on field, I'd probably hold Cruiser. That's sort of where I'm sitting. So I think I'm a similar spot to you, mate. Faz, what do you reckon, buddy?
I think the move that I would be looking to make would be bringing Tim English into my team if I didn't already have him. Scored an 83 on the weekend, so that's a very fine score for a rookie. Just getting some points on the board, saving a trade, and then you've got Cruiser who, as he showed last year, it can be an absolute force. When it comes to Paddy Ryder, I'd agree that probably looks like a must trade, particularly factoring in that he's got that early buy as well. As to who you go there, I think it's just going back to your preseason research and, thinking about who the next picked player would have been in your team. So I don't think you want to go off 1 week too much and, say that, Nick Nat scored more than Goldstein, so therefore I'll go for Nick Nat. I'd try and stick to the thinking that you developed over the preseason and just go with whoever your next picked player was.
Yeah, if I had Cruiser, I would hold and play English, same as you, Faz. If I had Ryder, I would pull the trigger this week and almost definitely trade to Nick Nat. Yeah, I think Goldstein's a fine second. Martin's a fine consideration as well. Goldie was on 100 at three-quarter time and then just ran out of steam. But like, I understand where you're coming from, Faz, in terms of back your preseason research. But with Nick Nat, 1 week of additional data is relevant. We didn't really get to see him in the preseason. He played one game at the waffle level, and then this is his first game playing 60% game time. He got through it. He scored 115. His game time's only going to go up. He's not going to get less fit. I don't know if it's FOMO, but I'm just upset. I don't have Nick Nat. I'd pick him.
I understand what you're saying. I would just want to point out that he won't be playing against Callum Sinclair every week. He might have a real weapon to contend with. I think you're right, though. He could be an absolute jet of a pick, so I might be just trying to hide my hurt feelings here.
So off the blokes that had interrupted round ones or injury-affected round ones, thankfully, and on to questions about the rookies now. First one here is from Chris Walker-Jones on Facebook. Hey, guys, love the show. Wondering if we make a trade this week to move from a dud rookie to a high-scoring one. Now, again, as we discussed already this show, you tend to want to be tentative about correction trades, but rookies that are purely a mistake, if you didn't select to start the season, I think those are okay to make after just one round of information, but there's not a whole bunch of them that people wouldn't have already started. So I think if I didn't have Dodie, Murray, Finlayson, Tim Kelly, Nick Holman, it's probably it. I would trade into them. Everybody else, I think you can wait another week on. But if you don't have Holman, Kelly, Finlayson, Murray, Dodie. Far out. There's so many. Thanks, Dunny. Dodie. I would definitely be trading into those five.
Would Tim English make the cut there? Or not so much.
I think if you chose to start the floating loophole player in Cameron and you don't have a ruck injury like Ryder or Cruiser, then it seems poor to trade into English because you're just behind everyone who already started English. So I would probably double down on my position there and use Cameron as the floating loophole.
Yeah, I tend to agree with some of what you said there, Marcus. For me, I don't like to change rookies even after one poor week in round one. You just don't know what's going to happen. And effectively, next week is a free hit anyway. They're not going to change in price. Let's say, for example, and God, I hope it doesn't happen because I need him. But, if Tim Kelly goes down or Nick Holman goes down next week, you're effectively traded into an injury that you didn't need to trade. That's just the way I play this game is I try not to trade round one if I don't absolutely have to, like a Ryder situation or something like that. The only other rookie that I'd probably be looking at maybe after round two would be Bailey Fritch. depending on how he goes this week.
All right, on to the next question. This one's from Ross Martin, one of our patrons. He wants to ask about corrective trades, though the reality is that he already knows the answer that we're going to give, and that's to wait. Good man, Ross. That's exactly what we've been preaching so far. Bonner's the only one he's tempted to go early on, and he says he knows we'll say no, but Bonner looks like a lock. And to be honest, of all the different players to go early on, Bonner's probably the only non-rookie that I would consider potentially going early on. And that's just because it allows you a different structure. And I love picks in the low 200K mark.
Watching Bonner on the weekend live, geez, I was really impressed with him. I thought he was fantastic. Basically, he's taking Jasper Pittard's role at the moment. And from what I understand, Pittard's out for a little bit longer yet. So they're going to have a good look at him. They really like him. So I don't see him dropping out of that team anytime soon. I think his job security is pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, he was scoring 70s and 80s in the few games that he had played since debut. So that's why he's at 257,000. Can score. The question is, does he play in the team? If he has a couple of poor weeks, there's still a chance that you know he can get dropped. I would still say to hold off. I think it makes sense not to go early on a mid-pricer. But if there was one bloke that I would be making the exemption for this season, it probably is Riley. But no, we both have him in our teams, Dunny, so we're biased.
Yeah, Rob, I'll give you the answer you're looking for, which is no, don't trade. just jumping back, I know we've been to this a few times, but the, I guess, quote-unquote must-have rookies that we listed before, there's really not many of them, at least based off round one scores. So I think that's worth keeping in mind that even if there's one of those blokes that you don't have, let's say you know you left Finlayson out of your team, if you've got the rest of the guys that we listed, then you know you can probably still pretty easily next week pick up Bonner and Finlayson. So in that situation, I don't think there's any need for Bonner owners out there. It would be lovely if he scores 119 again, but footy's a contact sport, so you know anything could happen next week to Bonner, and you're going to feel like a real goose if you know you've pulled the trade and really altered your structure of your team quite a bit just to bring this one bloke in, and he you know goes and does his ankle in the first quarter or something. So for me, it'd be wait, tune in to watch the Sydney Port Adelaide game this week, so you can get a really close look at Riley Bonner for one more week, and you know pull the trade as we normally do pre round three.
I don't know. There's a few interesting value selections this year that if you didn't have, I'd be tempted to try and manufacture a trade for next week. And so if you didn't have a couple of those blokes, I could see wanting to go a week early on potentially a must-have rookie. Like I think, you know, those five rookies that we read out, like they're not really going to fail. So pretty low risk as well. The main risk is the bloke you're going to trade out going to end up a decent rookie, more so than the trade-in target being poor. But Sicily, Petrarca, Smith, Billings, Canelio, Cripps, there's quite a few value selections this year that in hindsight may seem obvious. And if you didn't have two of those and they continue to have another smashing week, maybe next week you want to spend two trades swapping to two mid prices rather than doing a rookie corrective trade. So that'd be the only call out. But I think the advice you're giving, Faz, is sensible. I just think there is the opportunity to make an aggressive trade, bring a rookie in this week just so that you could bring in Sicily Billings next week, and that might not be a bad trade decision either. All right, next question is from Tim Sumner. Is it worth side trading to get Sicily in? Based on what we've said so far, I mean, yes, 400K, yes, scores 125, but probably no, wait one more week. Sicily's main knock is his consistency, and you're not going to realize consistency after 1 week. So to me, his major flaw downside is still as applicable next week, and you probably want to wait another week if you can, if you have that free information.
I think even there's a sort of a further reason with Sicily is that the DPP eligibility. So the fact that you can bring him into either your backline or your forward line, I think even if you are 100% set that Sicily's the player you want, it could be that you're not too sure who makes way for Sicily. So I think there is, you know, just another reason to wait a week. You can have another week of assessment on whoever is your, you know, your lowest performing defender and your lowest performing forward. I've seen a lot of questions this week asking about Hibbard, whether we should be trading him out after 1 week. I think, you know, there's a perfect example of you'd want to see Melbourne play one more week and see, you know, was it Geelong's tactics that led to the lower score from Hibbard, or, you know, is it actually a structural change that Melbourne have made? Because, again, I just want to have that extra week of info.
I'd agree with that. And we got a question from Jacob Coombe on Facebook on Hibbard, asking whether or not he should be traded out early. You can score a 70 in your first round and still very, very, very comfortably average 100 for the rest of the season. So that seems very, very premature. We have another question here from Jeremy Andruski, again about a side swap, but he's asking about Cade Simpson. Had a massive, massive round one showing, and Jeremy's asking whether or not he's going to reap the benefits from Doherty being out for the season and whether or not Simpson deserves a correction trade. I mean, if he keeps this sort of scoring up in the back line, he's a must-have. Dunny, thoughts on that?
Pretty much the same as the other guys, mate. I'd be waiting another week just to see what happens. I'd be still backing in the guys that I've got already before I trade him out. But having said that, Simpson does look like he's someone that should be on everyone's radar to bring in at some point, the way he played last Thursday night. But that is only one game. Who knows what could happen after that? Certainly worth being on the radar, though.
All right, we'll move on to this next question here from Jordan Donaldson, one of our patrons. He says, it seems crazy to trade a premium after just one game, but given Bont seems to be playing a lot of time down forward, would you act quickly and trade now? So I think this is one of those prime examples of backing in your preseason judgment. I think even if you picked Bont, you had to have been aware that there was risk in his selection because you're spending less time in the midfield and going to try and kick more goals this year. That hasn't panned out brilliantly in round one, but the good part about staying closer to goals is your bigger games tend to be bigger as well, and Bont can comfortably score 150 in his big game. So, you know, a big score later, and that balances out Bont's poor scores. So that seems a bit early to go on Bont as well. Although, you know, another 70 showing from Bont next week, or 80 or something like that, then you would be tempted to do a side swap for value at that point. But after 1 week, seems early. Billy Brown asking about Zorko, and that's a pretty similar equation there. I mean, we were talking about potentially keeping Merritt and he might miss next week. Zorko scored 7 points more with a 24. Still awful, but you've picked him already. If you've traded out of him, you're only behind everyone who didn't start Zorko and didn't have to spend the trading him out. So hopefully you can turn it around. He's got at least one more round. All right, next question is from CJ Foster asking what to do with Tom Rockliffe. Dunny, it wasn't the highest scoring first round for Rockliffe in Port Adelaide colours. What would you do?
You're right. He didn't have a great first up game, but let's remember that's also the first time he's played with those guys. He had no preseason games. I guess it was all a bit different for him. I think he'll come good. Will he return to the scoring levels that he had at Brisbane? I'd say probably not. You know, he was the main man in Brisbane. There literally wasn't much else, particularly when Beams was injured. If I'd started with him, though, I probably would still hold him and just see what happens for at least another week before that price movement happens. Like I said, first game back, first game playing in a new system that he wasn't sure of. So I'm sure he'll only get better from here.
Next question is from Nathan Jumello. He's got Fife and Christensen, similar to all three of us, and he's thinking about trading him to Danger and Ryan to get Danger in as a POD. That seems like a very, very risky move. You're making a double trade, so you need to net enough points for two trades for that upgrade from Fife up to Danger. Fife had a weak round one, but that doesn't mean he can't still turn things around and be in the top two, top three averaging super coaches for the year. He has that type of capacity in him. So it seems risky. And we shouldn't forget that there are a few teams out there that have chosen to start Paddy in round one and just have him not playing for the first round. If you decide to not start Paddy and then trade Paddy in, you're behind the guys who didn't start him and didn't trade him in. You're also behind the guys who did start him, because you've spent an extra two trades to get yourself into that position. So that seems like quite a comfortable no from me. Any objections to that?
No, I agree with you, mate.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, next question here is from Luke Ryan. He has David Armitage and is considering downgrading him to bank some cash from a rookie. He wasn't very sold after the first week. You both ended up with Armo, so I'm guessing neither of you are thinking about this.
No, not for me. It scored about an 80, I think. So that's still more than you'd expect him to score at the price that he is. So I quite like just the fact that he's, you know, starting around that 300K mark. I don't need him to go up terribly much in price. If he can get himself up to sort of 400, ideally, you know, the 450 mark, then that's, you know, not a whole lot of cash. And I can sideswap him to a bottomed out premium, hopefully, in only a few weeks. So that's what I'm looking at. Having said that, I did start with Armitage at M6 rather than M7. So I guess it depends who you've got missing. If it was one of Kelly or Holman, then I might consider Armitage down to one of those two boys. But the rest of the midfield rookies, Brayshaw, Banfield and Barry, are not guys that I would be looking to downgrade to.
I'd 100% agree with everything you said there, Faz. I think that's exactly the right play, what you're suggesting, and that's holding him. I mean, he's got a break-even of 11 after the first week, so he's only going to go up in value. And as you said, you don't need him to go up too far, and hopefully you can pick up a bottom-out premium, maybe a Zach Merritt even, if he drops far enough.
All right, so that wraps up the round one show. Dunny, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
Look, as I'm sure you boys just had pop up on your phone from your Port Adelaide FC app, just like I did. There was a quick little article there that said they've cleared Paddy of any major damage, but they're saying it'll still be probably about a month on the sidelines. So no new information really, but just confirming that it's nothing major at least. And the other one was that our boy Riley Bonner got the Rising Star nomination this week. So that's a good nice start to us.
Yes.
So it's good to have one of those in your team after round one, knowing someone else at least agrees with this, Marcus.
Yeah. I have a feeling Bonner will be probably the most popular corrective trade next week. I mean, premature after one massive score and we're losing our minds. But
don't worry, mate. I'm praying that he has another 21 games like that one he had on the weekend. Trust me.
Yeah. Faz, anything to leave our listeners with?
No, just good to have footy back. It was a nice weekend. Got a good win for the Bombers to start the season off as well. So, yeah, just happy that footy season's back. And, it all looks a lot better when you have a nice round one score as well. I don't know if I've ever had that before. So.
Faz is ranked in the top 500. His team won, and he tipped 9 this week. So, it's been a pretty good week for Faz.
Yeah, wow. Put a fork in me. I'm done.
Luckily, our teams both got wins as well on the weekend.
That's it.
So, yep. We're all smiles. I think just to reiterate again, was it keep calm, carry on? I think there are situations where you might want to make an aggressive trade this week, but for most teams, you won't really be in that situation. You kind of need to have made some fundamental mistakes in order to be in a position where you feel like you have to trade this week. And hopefully, you've been listening to us all preseason, and so I doubt your teams are in a shape where you need to trade this week. We'll see you boys in a couple more weeks. Mark will join us for the pre-price change show next week, and then we'll see you back the week after next. So thank you very much for joining us again for the show and for the season. And don't forget patreon.com/supercoachcoach for anyone who's looking to support the show. And that's us signing off. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See you guys.
Cheers.